Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. In this programme, we're going to revisit some highlights from our reporting from across the EU in the last few months. Our correspondents travelled the continent to shine a light on the issues affecting voters in the EU election campaign. Those topics will be central to the next five-year mandate and to the freshly re-elected President of the EU Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. She won a comfortable majority at the European Parliament here in Strasbourg on July the 18th, winning 401 votes. That's 40 more than she needed for a majority. Well, Luke Brown takes a look at the main legislative achievements of the last European Parliament.
Over the past 5 years, the European Parliament and the Commission have overseen hundreds of bills and laws. Some attracted little attention, but others have had a major impact on life in the EU. In 2020, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and just a few months after the start of their mandate, MEPs had to adapt. Taking decisions by video conference, the EU focused on the health crisis. By the end of July, an unprecedented recovery plan had taken shape, a €750 billion package to reboot the economy in the post-COVID era. In 2021, as the worst of the pandemic subsided, the EU could return to one of the Parliament's priorities, environmental protection. In July 2021, the European Climate Law, a key part of the Green Deal, came into effect a month after its adoption by the Council. The ambitious text, which aims to make the EU a global leader in the fight against climate change, pushes EU members to reach strict climate goals by 2030 and 2050, by when the EU wants to be carbon neutral. But in early 2024, protests from the agricultural sector forced Brussels to rethink parts of the Green Deal. The EU's Nature Restoration Law was watered down and its future is still in doubt. The law would mean member states would have to restore at least 30% of degraded natural habitat by 2030 and 90% by 2050. In 2022, Russia's invasion of Ukraine forced the European Parliament to take emergency measures. Multiple sanctions packages against Moscow, €98 billion in total aid for Ukraine, and the prospect of Kyiv joining the EU have dominated debate in the hemicycle. The last major bill adopted by the current Parliament came in April this year, the Migration and Asylum Pact. The law toughens the processing of migrants arriving in the EU, as well as setting up a system of solidarity between member states to house asylum seekers around the bloc, and a mechanism to deal with future migrant crises. And while some states are against the solidarity mechanism, the reform won't be implemented until 2026.
Well, as you heard in that piece, European security has been a central preoccupation over the last 2.5 years. And in the so-called frontline states, those that are closest to Russia and Ukraine, the issue is absolutely critical. Luke Brown filed this report from Estonia.
Sunday morning in a forest in Estonia, but this is no recreational walk in the woods.
And our company is at the moment doing medevac procedures because we have some casualties.
Drones buzzing overhead, assault rifles and heavy weapons in their hands. For these Estonian civilians, it's not just a war game. They're training to protect their homes and their homeland. Today's adversary, played by a unit from the French Foreign Legion, part of the NATO presence in the country.
We're impressed by the ability they have. They're civilians who are giving up their weekends, who are giving up their time to train in combat skills and learn about defending their rear positions.
The exercise pits 100 Estonian civilians against the force of professional French soldiers. Facing blank rounds and an intense assault, the Estonian forces are eventually overwhelmed. Indeed, with a standing army of only 5,000 professional soldiers, faced with a hostile force many times larger, Estonia has no choice but to rely on auxiliaries in case of invasion. The Estonian Defence League can count on 30,000 of these highly motivated volunteers.
We have to defend our families. We saw what happened in Ukraine, so we have to be ready.
I have 4 children. It's a weekend. Normal people would be spending their weekends with their children, doing something else, but we are doing this because we have to, because of our not so nice neighbor to the east.
Estonia still holds bitter memories of the Russian and Soviet occupations of the 20th century, this monument bearing the names of the thousands of civilian deportees from that era. sharing a 330-kilometer long border with Russia and with a large ethnically Russian population, the question of its security dominates the political debate.
You might remember the migrant crisis of 2015 when more than a million people came to this continent to seek asylum. Almost a decade later, migration remains a very live issue, as the rise of far-right parties demonstrates. Clovis Casali sent this report from Sweden, where the governing coalition has a confidence and supply agreement with the far-right Sweden Democrats.
The Stockholm suburb of Rinkeby is one of the poorest areas in Sweden. Over 80% of residents are first or second generation immigrants. This bridge was set to connect it with a richer neighborhood. But it's uncompleted, with the far right campaigning against it for years.
What will happen with the real estate prices in that area if this bridge leads to criminality spillover there? What will happen to the kids who are vulnerable to robbery attempt?
Mustafa Zatara was born in Rinkeby.
You see the high building there? There is my childhood.
This entrepreneur of Palestinian descent says nowadays there are fewer social schemes and public services. Meanwhile, some say the rise of violence in recent years shows that integration has failed in Rinkeby.
The right is going always further to the right of their racist opinions. Clearly, they are getting more supporters in the country. The people here just try to pull together and do the best they can in their situation.
He set up a program helping local youths become entrepreneurs like him.
I tell them Sweden is a land of possibility, so you've got to try to seize those opportunities and stay away from trouble, because there are so many good things in life out there.
Questions of integration and reforming immigration laws have been at the heart of the campaign. Apart from the Greens and the Left Party, there appears to be a consensus over the need to introduce tougher laws.
COVID debt, war in Ukraine, energy and food prices, these are some of the reasons why a cost of living crisis persists in the EU and why a lot of people feel that Europe is not delivering for them. Clovis Casali went to Ireland, where many young people can't afford to pay rent and have to live with their parents. As for saving enough money to buy a place, well, forget it.
Niamh moved back to her family home during COVID, and now the 28-year-old can't afford to leave.
I would like to maybe move in with my partner or like do something like that, and that's just not an option really. There's different decisions of life being put off or kind of taken into consideration about how that would work, because your house is your base.
In Ireland, two-thirds of under 30-year-olds still live with their parents. Niamh works in education and is considering emigrating to another European country like some of her friends. She expects more from politicians running in the coming elections.
I'm staying here and I want something to change. Whereas it's easy to say, like, I'm going to move and get something better somewhere else. Staying is harder.
Her home is in Enfield, a small town 40 kilometres outside of Dublin. The fields where Niamh used to play growing up have been replaced by houses. The area is attracting more and more commuters, with property prices soaring in recent years. The housing crisis hits both rural Ireland and cities, so all political parties have been campaigning on the issue, saying more construction and flats were desperately needed. The Fianna Fáil, currently in power here and part of the Renew bloc, is now calling for a new European strategy, with the creation of a committee paving the way for more reforms and investment.
Well, that cost of living crisis is, of course, one of the most pressing issues that the new legislature will have to work on. And it's linked to how Parliament chooses to handle the green transition, industrial competitiveness, defence spending, and, of course, the EU budget. Aurore Chloé Desbonnets looks at the intray of the 2024 to 2029 European Parliament.
Will the next five-year term be greener? Over the coming 5 years, MEPs will vote on hundreds of bills. Many of the new laws will focus on the environment and the Green Deal, one of the top priorities for the European Parliament over the past 5 years, and which has recently faced calls for a rethink during the farmers' protests. Another major issue in the inbox, the European Union budget. The current long-term budget, the multi-annual financing framework, ends in 2027. The EU will need to find new sources of funding to pay for the green transition, the levelling up policies and the EU's common policies. Faced with the uncertainty over the US elections and the spiking conflicts on Europe's doorstep, the issue of security and defence will need addressing. If NATO were to be weakened by the US pulling away, for example, then the EU would need to reinforce its strategic autonomy. Meanwhile, the Migration and Asylum Pact was approved by Parliament a few months ago. MEPs will have to get down to work to ensure it can come into force from 2026. European states will have to accommodate refugees as well as potentially continue to sign partnerships with third countries to reduce migrant flows into the EU. Finally, the EU's enlargement process has returned once more to the fore in the wake of the war in Ukraine. Indeed, the EU decided to open negotiations with Ukraine and Moldova and grant candidate status to Georgia in December. That means there are now 9 countries officially in the waiting room to join the EU. So, will the next 5 years see the EU grow to more than 27 members?
I hope you enjoyed those extracts from our reporting across the EU during the European election campaign. You can watch those reports in full by going to Talking Europe on our website, france24.com. And there you can also see the work of our correspondents in Berlin, Madrid, Brussels, Rome, The Hague, and other member states. And of course, when the EU institutions get going again after the summer break, we'll have all that coverage for you here on Talking Europe and in our news programs on France 24.